Hi there, folks. Welcome once again to the Three Grumpy Simmers. And I, as Novoy24, I'm grumpy. I don't know about my two other grumpy simmers, but I know I'm grumpy. But it's not just me, as I said, folks. I am joined by my two other fellow grumpy simmers. I am joined by Sergio from helisimmer.com.
Hey, everyone.
And we are joined by the purple hat wearing still Tomcat expert, though wondering which platform for this time, Drew Belgeode.
Hey, what did I always say? A cat for every sim, and now it's a reality.
You have it. You have
I
a cat
vindicated.
For every sim.
I stand what? Vindicated.
Oh,
is there a Tomcat for Aerofly?
There is not. Oh.
Eye packs.
Here's a finger wag. We haven't seen that for a hot minute.
My God, are they even still around?
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
They just suck at PR, and they won't get in contact with me to tell me, hey, by the way, this is the stuff we're doing. It would be really great if you could start making some more videos of our flight sim.
You know, I'd forgotten about that sim. Like, I loved Aerofly when it first came out. I thought this was kind of cool. Like, it was, considering how good the performance was, like, visually, it was stunning. Performance-wise, it was great. Flight modeling, I thought, was pretty damn good as well.
But FS4 is really good, too. And don't forget that it is one of the titles that performs superbly in VR.
Did exactly. they skip? That's what they skipped FS3, didn't they? They went from
two to four. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And it still has one of the best helicopters on any sim out there. The
R22
is absolutely brilliant. And not only that, but there is a version that they have of Aerofly that is being used by a company called Loft Dynamics, which used to be VRM Switzerland. And they have actually certified their sim, their motion platform with VR and Aerofly for use in Europe and now in the US. It's that good. The thing is,
why do we not hear about this? Now I'm even grumpier.
Everybody's sleeping on Aerofly because their PR sucks. I keep saying it. I'm like, hello, remember me over here? I'll be more than happy to help you out. You just gotta let me know.
I remember making the video on that. I remember, Sergio, I remember you saying that you were impressed that I could actually handle that Robinson that tried to kill me throughout that entire video. And like as I said, I remember that sim was amazing. It definitely had rooms to improve. Like, for example, like the world was dead. That kind of sucked.
That's strange.
But yeah.
Water was not water and all that. And look, when I went to Switzerland to try the VRM motion platform, the prototype they were developing that it's now being used by the company that is now called Loft Dynamics, like I said, I sat down at dinner with the CEO of IPEX, and everything we're saying, including you suck at PR, I told that face to face to the CEO. Now I told him, look, we love the product. The product needs to be upgraded. You need to fix this, and that. And by the way, we need to learn more and hear more about your product because people like your product. It has potential, but no one knows what the product is, how it's going to be, what future plans you have. It's just crazy. It is crazy.
Nobody wants to. The other thing was their SDK was worse than the MSFS SDK. And that's saying something.
Still people were developing. There's a links that meanwhile the guy just stopped developing because the SDK was really, really
literally
bad.
Broken. From a livery perspective, I made a bunch of liveries for it and I was gonna bring them into the sim. And literally, the SDK, it doesn't work. You've got to run this, you've got to run a proprietary package tool to put it into their proprietary format. Okay, fine, whatever. Literally the link to that package was broken. And then when you finally dug through and pinged them for an updated link, they sent you a file and you ran it and it failed. And it's like, okay, you know what? I'm done.
It's a shame. It's a shame because the product has a lot of potential.
It does.
The first time that I heard about it was you, Drew. You told me about, you know, about the product, and it was really good with VR. And I tried it out, and I was impressed, and I got in touch with IPEX, and then I started knowing and learning more and more and more about the product. Man, you guys know, a lot of people talk about the Voichard maneuver to get out of Vortex Ring State. You know, when I went to Switzerland, I actually met the person. I actually met Claude Voichard, which is that he was working with IPEX in developing the flight dynamics for the R22. You know, if you start piecing all this together, you come to the conclusion that, man, we are missing out on a great sim, you know, because they are not evolving the sim the way they should be doing. And it wouldn't be that hard, really. It wouldn't be that hard. They already have the hardest part. The thing is, the hardest part, the thing where most sims fail, they have it. Right?
They've got everything they need for a perfect sim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except a community that knows that it even goddamn exists.
Look, they even started working on the scenery, and we now have, well, it's not an excellent world scenery, but we do have world scenery now. Again, it's not excellent. I'd expect anything, even at the level of X-Plane. But at least you are not confined to a few small areas and just desert or very blurry textures everywhere else.
You know, and it was one of the first sim. I think it was the first sim that I ever saw the photo reel used well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because
before Microsoft Flight Simulator even came on the scene, they were pretty much pioneering that as standard default text.
And even like using orthos in X-Plane, like I will 100% own. I am on record, and I will always own this, that I am on record as saying, I would rather use geotypical rather than photoreal because it never looked good. It never performed well. I never got performance. You know, everybody said, oh, you get performance increases when you use photoreal. No, I didn't. My performance tanked every time I used photoreal. And I said, I would rather continue using geo when MSFS was still being first talked about, when we knew nothing about it. I was like, no, I'm going to stick with geotypical because photoreal is not good. It doesn't work. It might work for some, not work for me. And I am 100%, I am happy to say I have eaten my words on that one. I am happy to say that because again, the only time where I ever saw it had worked well before was with IPEX and Aerofly. By the way, folks, this isn't the topic of our conversation, by the way, folks. This is what happens when the three companies and get together and we find something else to be grumpy on. Yeah, squirrel. Aerofly was the FS2 was the first time I ever saw photoreal get implemented and implemented well, and I was blown away by it. I genuinely was blown away by Aerofly with, as I said before, how smooth that sim was. Is
still is.
Yeah, how smooth that sim is, how good everything felt, how good it looked, and how beginner, like new aviator friendly it was. Which I'll be honest, that's the other thing that most sims do absolutely terribly is new aviator friendly. MSFS is probably the next best one to do it because they welcome in people who don't have, you know, $1,000 hardware, you know, as a regular part of their setup. You know, they've got a $25 Xbox controller, and they are making sure that they cater for everybody, which doesn't mean for all those people saying that, oh, that means Microsoft Flight Simulator is dumbed down. It's not a real simulator. It's just a game. No, sorry. It is a sim. Sorry. Simulators are games. Moving on. So,
we just had to bring that up. It's been several months.
So watching that beginner welcoming journey in IPEX, offices there in Aerofly FS2, was great. And then it just...
It's frustrating.
It's die. It just seemed to die. Yeah. Like I said, I forgot that it even existed.
But that's just the thing. It's not dead. Up until a couple of days ago, I was still getting regular updates for Aerofly FS4 on Steam. They're still updating the thing.
Why do we not even... What? Why are they not coming to Flight Sim Expo?
Yeah. I have no idea. I mean, would literally, really like an answer to that one.
Literally, that they are the only dev I have now never seen at an at a convention or an expo, because I've seen Geofly, I've seen Flight Gear,
yeah.
I've seen X-Plane, I've seen Lockheed Martin, I've seen Microsoft. Admittedly, Microsoft, they were late to the party, but you know, Infinity they got Flight. Here. Infinite Flight. I remember Infinite Flight with when it was history for everybody. Infinite Flight launched on Windows Mobile.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes. Its lead platform was Windows Mobile, and then when Windows Mobile was slated to be shut down, they looked at going, well, where do we go? And they went, well, everything else still works. Let's just port it over to Android and Apple, and they did. But it started as a Windows Mobile app. Funny enough, and I'm sorry to say this, it's the only time I ever played it, I ever flew it, was I flew it on Windows Phone. I still have no idea. Windows Phone, yeah. But anyway.
let's perhaps get back on topic now.
I blame you, Sergio, for that. I 100% blame you for getting us off topic. Anyway,
it needed to be said, though. It really did.
Yeah.
You know, actually, in some ways, it kind of does tie into to our topic a little bit. So the thing that I'm actually grumpy about in this Three Grumpy Simpers episode, by the way, folks, is that I'm obviously for those who know my channel and know me well, you know that I produce the weekly summary of the new releases for the simulation world. The Nova app, exactly. Not to be confused with the weekly flyby, which is just the which is a far more expansive news, not just focusing on new products. One of the things that I've noted a trend with in new releases was this was developers who are doing various degrees of levels of work, from we won't talk about all the way up to, oh my god, this looks like it is like I'm actually standing there. Are very much a focus on terminal interiors, on insides of buildings, on things that you don't. Sir.
He has been around you all the time. I've been just, just looking at him, listening to you, and looking at the cat.
That's all right. Luna's behind me, too, so she's about to start acting up.
Right. So, focusing on things like, developers focusing on, and don't get me wrong, like, some of the details I've seen are absolutely amazing. Like, seeing, coffee cups in airport cafes that have the logos of the coffee shop, seeing, clothing stands which actually have individual clothes models and stuff like that. Like, all the airport seats, so not like the parallax modeling that we saw used a lot, which is, of course, is far better than just flat textures, but, I remember starting when airport terminals, you had to imagine it and it was a wireframe on the edge of your screen and you had to imagine everything after that. So, just seeing textures was a pretty big improvement for me. But I'm with a couple of the new releases that I reported on in a couple of new, recent Nova apps, I noted that there were these amazing airport interiors, like incredibly vivid, like airport interiors that I genuinely felt like I was there. The one of the airports that I saw, I'd actually been to that airport and went, I remember having coffee at that coffee shop. It's like, okay, all right. And like, I it's exactly what I remembered to be. But then I'd look at the apron. I'd look at the ramp of the publicity images. I'd look at the taxiways and the airport textures, and I go, that looks worse than what MSFS ships with by default. So
is it a trade-off then?
And that's what I'm wondering. Is anybody else seeing this trade-off? Is it something that maybe I'm just only seeing it because of how many new releases I scroll through every week preparing for the Nova app? Is it something where we as the community are pushing developers to focus on these interior models? And what's the cost of this? Like, I do 3D development. I know that there's an awful lot of extra polygons that are going into creating that standalone coffee cup that's sitting on that airport cafe table that my computer only has the capability to render so many polygons at a time. And that's a polygon I'm not going to see at 3,000 feet, or I'm not going to see as I'm coming in on short final and my computer goes, hey, sorry, I know you needed that VRAM to be able to do your landing, but no. What's the trade-off? What's the cost?
That is a very good question. That is a really good question. See, my big thing, and I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking about this wrong. I actually enjoy seeing the interiors of things like airports. But then, of course, as just about everybody watching or listening to this knows, I'm in VR. I'm doing virtual reality, and probably one of the biggest benefits that I think comes with being able to be in virtual reality is getting that sense of scale. So I'll give you an example. You remember, I think it was like a couple of years ago, or probably around the time when Microsoft Flight Simulator had first come out, like one of the first add-on developers to put out a big airport, and it was Chicago O'Hare, right? I forget who the developer was. I don't know if it was Flightbeam or it was somebody else or something like that.
Pretty sure it's Flightbeam.
But I got that, and I actually went into there. And remember, I am not an airliner, tube liner kind of guy here. It's either helicopters, GA, or
Says the man who used to run Jamaican Airlines Virtual Airline.
Well, that was ages ago. I'm past that life. I'm not about that life anymore. But anyway, I actually brought an aircraft in, just a regular GA aircraft, or maybe it must have been a Warbird or something. And I got out of it in VR, of course, the drone camera.
Yep.
Walked into the terminal and actually found the McDonald's that I've been to. And they even went so far as to put a model in there, an actual model of a woman, a brunette, wearing the McDonald's uniform with her little name tag that said Brenda. And I thought that was the absolute most amazing thing I've ever seen. And even going further than that, you know, places like St. Martin, not the big airport, not Juliana, but the other one that's on the island, seeing airports like that where the developer has completely fleshed out the interior, not just in Microsoft Flight Simulator, but also in like X-Plane 11 at the time. I haven't gotten any airports for X-Plane 12, so I can't speak to whether or not they've done that. Having the ability to just walk through, it just adds that extra level of immersion to the whole thing. Now, what is the trade-off? Well, with X-Plane, obviously, you can do a lot more, I think. Because with X-Plane, of course, you've got all the runway textures and so on that you can actually incorporate into the airport itself. So, really, I've never had too many problems with X-Plane going that extra mile whenever a developer wants interiors of airports and stuff like that. Because it usually ends up being really good. But I will agree with you on this point. I am starting to notice that same trend because, of course, I am a NovaRap watcher every Sunday. It's like a ritual. I grab my coffee and I got my NovaRap on YouTube. And yes, I am seeing what you're seeing where it seems like some developers are going that extra mile to do the interior or to, you know, make sure that all the coffee mugs are in place in the airport. But then they're forgetting about the crucial things that the majority of the users of the product are going to be interested in, the aprons, the markings, runways, or they're just like putting a flat sheet of photo texture down there and calling it done. So I'm kind of two minds of this. I love the fact that we can get in there and, you know, really get down to the nitty and the gritty. I love doing my bush flights, coming into like, you know, the default Microsoft bus strips or whatnot, and seeing the little TV flickering in the house window if you get there just after sunset.
I remember that at the preview event, being blown away by that. You fly over like the autogen houses at night. And
But that's just the thing, though. I mean, I love to see more of that, but I also don't want it to come with the sacrifice of the things that would matter more to people who honestly are never going to get out of the cockpit. They're going to sit there for half hour, or they're going to get up and get their coffee while, you know, their virtual aircraft is loading passengers and GSX going and all of that good jazz. They're never going to actually go in there and go meet Brenda. I will, but, you know, I'm more the exception rather than the rule. So I kind of see where you're coming from on that, but to me, it does mean a lot for them to actually do stuff like that. I'll give you another great example. This is one that Steve, a.k.a. VR Flight Sim Guy, turned me on to. Burning Blue Design. I'm dropping names. Burning Blue Design. Have you ever seen all of their airports? There is a developer that puts everything and the kitchen sink, and even put Steve in there from time to time.
The working clock at the Goodwind racetrack.
Who does that?
Yep.
Burning Blue, apparently. But that's just the thing. When they do an airport, they actually do it what I consider to be the right way. They're not only paying attention to all those small details that you pointed out, but they're also paying attention to the other important stuff that matters, you know, the runways, the taxiways, the grass strips, the markings on the grass strip, especially, and, you know, where everything would realistically park and what there is in the surrounding area. I would love to see more of that, but my hunch is we're starting to get an influx of other developers. I don't want to say no-name developers, but maybe like first-timers. Or, you know, maybe this is their sophomore addition to the sim or whatever, and they're still trying to find their footing and trying to find the best way of doing things. I'm thinking that they probably need to rework that a little bit. Take a little bit extra time instead of rushing to get it out there and do a cash grab. Take that little bit of extra time, do your interiors and all of that, but also focus on the exteriors too.
So are you suggesting that it's more to do with a developer's priorities?
Yes. I'm thinking more that it is the developer rather than actually what the community themselves want. Because think about this. A lot of the airports that you're showing off, yeah, there's like some international stuff. But what countries are they typically in?
Germany or America.
We've got a crap ton of sceneries out there for places like Germany and America. It's like the market is pretty much saturated at this. So what I'm thinking is happening is I'm thinking that the developers, in order to try and stand out, they're trying to go this extra mile by putting all of these extra things in there. But some of them are getting it wrong.
But they're getting caught short by their own by going the extra mile on those small details. Because you know, it's one of those things where I love seeing those details as well. And I mean, I remember exploring things with Bob. Who remembers Orlix Bob? Or the avatar in the actual avatar in model in Prepared, where you, what was it, Control-Shift-A, and you stepped out of your airplane and you of your sim object, and you became, what was his name? I can't remember his name.
I don't know that they had a name for it. I just remember that it worked flawlessly in VR, and I'm still hoping to this day that Microsoft Flight Simulator will implement the same thing.
So do I. Because
they did have it.
In flight.
I remember talking to the developers when we were in Seattle. They actually have it.
They did.
Yes. They took it out.
Terrible, terrible idea.
Well, you'll
need to tell York to bring it back in.
Well, perhaps you'll see it in 2024, and you know, with all the mission stuff that they have added and all that stuff. I don't know.
That's your new task. I want to be able to walk from my airport interior on the tarmac, that's perfectly modeled, by the way, to my helicopter with the door open,
as an avatar instead of having to use drone cam.
Well,
Make it happen, Sergio. Make it happen.
I think we'll be pleasantly surprised in the future. I don't know. I think Microsoft has bigger plans to the software than we anticipate.
Than we are currently privy to.
I think so. I'm starting to see some things shifting into that direction. And it will piss a lot of people.
Let's be honest. This community gets cranky because they don't see the smoke on their tires. But I'm sort of curious, like, because you make some great points there, Belgio, with the whole, you know, putting Brenda in there with her uniform and her name tag, you know, and because I remember exploring airports with Bob and then with the prepared avatar. One of my favorite ways to show off airport sceneries whenever I'm reviewing them is I grab myself a car. I remember the first time I did it was back in FSX. I grabbed the Chevy Viper or something? Mm. Or Dodge Viper?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was the Dodge Viper.
And driving in the front gate of this airport and actually driving around the airport to show it off. And I thought, this is actually a fantastic, because again, I used to be one of those people that went, why do you want a car in a flight simulator? Why do you want a boat in a flight simulator? Yeah. But doing things like that opened my eyes to going, okay, this is why we need to have an avatar mode. This is why it's good to have ground vehicles. This is why it's good to have ships in here, because yes, it's called Microsoft Flight Simulator, but in some ways we could call it Microsoft Vehicle Simulator.
Look at what we got in the past couple of weeks. We got the Dune Ornithopter. So we're not even on Earth anymore. We're on Arrakis.
And it's not the first ship either. It's the second ship.
Right.
Right? So it's the second spaceship. So it's. I don't know, man. People are weird. We were talking about the trade-offs, Tristan, and more than the technical trade-offs that you were mentioning, the number of polygons, etc. I don't think that's a big issue, especially if developers do it the right way with LODs and all that stuff. And engines nowadays can handle that pretty well. I don't think Microsoft Flight Simulator is an issue. I lean more towards what Drew was saying, and that's what worries me, which is time. If developers use a lot of time to do interiors, will they run out of time to do the exteriors? Or even if they don't run out of time to do both things correctly, aren't they investing way too much time into products to actually make a proper profit? Because let's be honest, these companies need to make a profit, right? They need to...
We've got to pay the bills for the software that we use for a start. That alone isn't cheap.
And developing needs to continue to be valid for them, right? If for some reason they start losing money or not making money, yeah, okay. Some freeware developers don't make money, but we're talking about people that they probably have a business, and they probably are doing their business with flight simulation. So they need to break a profit. Can they? Are they reducing the profit they have at the expense of eventually putting their companies at risk in the future? That's what concerns me, because very honestly, I couldn't care less if an airport has an interior or not. I'm not going to walk around the airport. I'm going to, most of the time, honestly, I'm not even flying at airports. Sometimes I take off from airports. I just land anywhere because, you know, the world is my helipad.
I knew that was coming.
I was trying to figure out which tagline he was going to use.
I was waiting for that.
So I can land pretty much anywhere, and most of the time that's what I do. I don't return to airports, but so I don't really care. But I'm okay with those airports having the interiors. But I am concerned because I don't want developers to put themselves out of business
because without them, our sim doesn't grow. And you know, there's a great tagline actually on, as much as I have problems with FlightSim.to, but I do, there's a statement that they make on their website, on their site, which is actually very, very true, which is, you know, freeware is great, but don't take it for granted. Because, and as somebody who vast majority of what I produce is freeware, that stuff's not cheap to make. Yes, you get to use it, you get to have it for free, but that stuff costs us money to make. You know, whether
not
that
to mention
be
time.
Yeah, and that's not even talking about time.
Time is money. Time is money. That's the thing. You know, the time Tristan is using doing stuff for free, is not using doing stuff that could help him pay his bills.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the thing.
So it's one of those things where, and that, so you make a good point that it's that whole, will they end up, by focusing and delivering the amazing detail of these interiors, will they end up alienating, you know, they'll obviously end up drawing, you know, portions of the community, they'll be very, very happy about it because they can go and explore and they can go and meet Brenda. But you're going, do they run the risk then of, by not spending that extra time doing the stuff that everybody's going to see, do they end up running the risk of alienating so many people that nobody will then invest in their products in the future? I wanted to have this discussion, to talk about these things, because it's one of those subjects I never thought I'd actually be doing a podcast about. But it's one of those things where you're right. Like, I really love seeing those details. Like, I love going in and meeting Brenda, though, you know, I wish Brenda was a redhead. I love being able to go and, you know, sit at the Goodwin Airport from Burning Blue Designs. I like being able to go sit at the grandstand on the track, watching the race cars go by and looking at the time, which is mapped to the sim time at the clock tower. But, is the trade-off for giving us those really cool, neat little details that honestly not a lot of people are going to see? I feel that not a lot of people will see. Hopefully they do. I try to highlight stuff like that in my review videos when I do them. To your point, Sergio, if they end up spending so much time doing those little details that a developer misses the bigger things, then what does that mean for the future?
Yeah, exactly.
For everybody involved.
Like I said, the cash grab is my biggest worry. And when I say cash grab, I'm specifically talking about those developers, whether it be scenery or aircraft, and believe me, we know a couple, that clearly had enough time to produce a good product, spent more time to produce a better product, but instead
Can we just talk about the YF-23 that got released on the Microsoft Store? Can we just talk about that?
Do we have to?
Like, it's literally not even a YF-23.
I haven't seen that one.
Don't waste your time. Don't even look it up. Listen. Everybody who's listening to this and watching this, I'm putting the picture here
to force everybody to see what I had to see when I'm doing my research. Like, it was... Anyway, so, yeah, and this is a good point that, yes, we might be talking about... I've spent most of this episode talking about scenery, but this is just as much of a concern when it comes to vehicles as well. Because doing things like, you know, giving a, you know, you've got a developer that produces an absolutely fantastic 3D model, you know, with stunning visuals, but then the cockpit looks like trash, or the flight dynamics. As much as I'm one of those people that I never use that anathema phrase, that evil phrase, but you know, if developers are focusing on doing tire smoke and a 3D model, but then the cockpit looks like it's out of Minecraft, and
or worse yet, the flight model looks like it's from FS.
I don't even know how far back to go. FS 2000. Let's go.
Let's call it a flight, or even
Minecraft. The flight model.
A Minecraft flight model. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. Yeah. It's got a Minecraft flight model. Like, I saw somebody talk about that. Apparently, there's a helicopter, the Apache on. I think it was the Apache that's on the marketplace. I'm pretty sure it does like 300 knots and like can pull like 6 G's or something stupid like that. And I'm like, what flight model is it using? Like, Sergio's literally died. He's literally died from me mentioning that horrific abomination.
Because we all know which one you're talking about.
Oh, man. Not to mention the one that has the cyclic turn backwards, and the one that has the collective for the left seat is on the left, and the collective for the right seat is on the right. Yeah, I think it's the same.
Is that the same one that's got the battery button? Is the butt button?
The butt, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And poor Joe didn't even try the button because he didn't want to know what it was all about.
That is what I'm talking about here. If you've got your time and you're a developer, your time is precious. Yes, I love the details, but you can sacrifice the details to make us something good.
But I tend to agree with something that Drew said, and I think he may be right, because I believe that if not all these developers are doing this and are doing these interiors mostly as a marketing move. So it's not, they know they are robbing themselves of time and potentially a bit of profit. Or a lot of profit, depending on the interior. Because let's face it, like you said, Tristan, doing those interiors takes time. It's texturing and modeling and whatnot. It takes a lot of time. So I think a lot of these guys are doing this to add value, which is perfectly valid. Now there are other ways to add value to scenery without perhaps spending so much time doing some interior decoration. You do something outside. If you find some small airfield nearby, why not adding the airfield? You know, if it's just a runway.
Yes.
You
have add in the hospital helipad from the city. Yeah. Like, I think, was it Orbix did that on a couple of their bigger airports recently?
Orbix, and there's another company from someone that we know. I'm not going to drop names, but you guys probably know who it is, because he used to work with Orbix. He's now working by himself. And I have told Orbix about this. You know, if you could be adding value, you could be bringing more people into your products that probably wouldn't buy your products. You know, a helicopter steamer would probably not buy a huge airport, because what he has on the seam is good enough. I don't need the gates and all that stuff that moves and blah blah. You know, all that paraphernalia, I don't need it because I'm flying a helicopter. But if you release this helicopter, you add a few hospitals, a few rooftop helipads. Yeah. Something for me to do around the actual airfield, I will probably take a look. I'll probably look at it twice.
Yeah.
Which I would not if you wouldn't add it.
If it was just that.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
One of the best helicopter guys.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the best helicopter scenery guys that I've seen out there is one that I'm planning on featuring again soon. And I say again because I've featured them before. Goes by the name of CLI number 4D. Basically, it's Clifford, right?
Yeah.
He's done two Philippine sceneries. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The second Philippine sceneries where I plan on showing off. And that's how you do it, right there.
Yes, it is a payware scenery, yes. But he's got the details and he's got everything spread out exactly like Sergio's talking about, where you have multiple places that you can come in. You can bring your helicopter down on a beach. There's, you know, little pads there. There's an actual anchor airport, like a GA airport that, you know, GA pilots can use. And I think it might actually be big enough that you could bring like maybe a regional jet. So you might even get the airliner crowd to come in there and, you know, at least pay a visit to the area. And then, of course, the most important thing, the scenery itself, all the things that he's done with the scenery, and it does actually play nicely with your FPS. That's how you do it right. Instead of just focusing on making sure that Brenda's name tag does have the correct amount of arches to form the M in McDonald's.
Yeah,
add those extra things. Add those extra, you know, hotels with the helipads on there and all of that stuff. That's what I think we need to see more of. That's what I think more developers need to pay attention to.
That's
how we balance this.
Yeah, because as I said, like it is something that I'm very conflicted about. And that's why I wanted to bring it up with you guys, because am I losing what I, you know, if I'm flying into an airport, then I want to make sure my taxiways are right, that I'm looking at quality visuals, that I'm not seeing the really badly airbrushed out outline from the satellite imagery of where an airliner was actually sitting on the ramp when the photo was taken. And instead of, I would rather that developer have spent the time, because going back to what you're saying before about time, Sergio, I would rather them have not put the coffee cup on the table if it meant they could have taken that time to do a custom ground map texture for the ramp where I didn't have to see this really god-awful Photoshop half-assed effort of erasing a 737 from the photo reel image. Like,
let's get real here. Just how bad are the default asphalt, concrete, whatever else you use to make aprons, taxiways, and runways textures? How bad are those in the Microsoft SDK?
Honestly, look, okay, I'm going to piss a lot of people off, and I'll say I don't think they're that bad. Like, they're not great, and I definitely, if I'm paying $60 for, if I'm paying $50 for an airport, then I'd expect custom. But if I'm only paying $10 for an airport, if you've done custom buildings,
use the resource. Yeah, the resources are right there. Use them.
Yeah. And to be honest, from, again, not a scenery developer, but my understanding is that you can use their framework and literally just say, you define it as this material and you put your own texture on, from what I understand. But again, not a scenery developer, happy to be proven wrong. Please let me know in the comments down below. I shouldn't have said that because I'm sure I'm going to get assassinated down there. Anyway, so...
People will tell you.
It's like if I ever can't figure out something that I'm trying to code, I post, I saw this meme somewhere and then I've used it and it absolutely works. You post a question on one of those tech help forums and then you log in under a second account and give an absolutely bullshit, bogus answer. Yep. Because if you just post a question, nobody gives a shit. Nobody wants to know.
No one's going to answer you.
But if you put the wrong answer in, then everybody wants to come in and tell you what the right answer is. And it works. But yeah, like I wanted to ask this question because I'm seeing it a lot in scenery, but I'm also seeing it in aircraft development, like people and I especially see it for the scenery developer side, being doing the Nova app that I do, because I rely most of the time, because you know I don't get a press, most of these developers don't do press releases, harking back to the conversation earlier about IPACs. So literally, I'm relying on whatever product description they've got when they publish it on SimMarket or they publish it on Orbix or wherever.
That's where they're skimping on the time right there, is those product descriptions.
The product description is either the first paragraph from Wikipedia, or it is listing all the interior terminal features. I'm like, okay, when's the externals? Is that 2024, 2023, 2022? Do you have terminal buildings? Do you have something outside the airport that you want to show off? I have to deduce that from looking at the screenshots and figure out, okay, what is this using?
I think those are mind games. I think it's a mix. I think those are mind games. Those are marketing mind games. And I think there are a couple of things here. One of them is that people tend to be selectively blind. They rather look at an airport. I'm doing some sort of generalization, but of course this is not a generalization. Not everyone thinks this way, but people tend to see the interiors of the airport very well modeled, and they just ignore what can be poorly done on the outside, except if it's really bad, really, 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 really bad. You know, if it completely breaks it. And on the other hand, I think that the thought process of the guys that developed this product is that if they focus their list on talking about the interior of the airport, that conveys the message that the airport is so well done, it's so good, that they even made the interior to be absolutely fantastic. So if the interior, which should be an afterthought, is so good,
then obviously the rest of it must be amazing.
Exactly. And I think that's part of the
spoiler alert,
process.
It's not.
Problem is, the pictures don't lie. I mean,
yeah,
you've got all these awesome pictures of the interior, but, and then you've got about 10 pictures of the exterior where it looks like absolute
but
crap.
But that relies on people not being, as Sergio pointed out, being selectively blind, and then people are being
referred to my, yeah.
Yeah, so they're being just wowed by the coffee cup and the ice cream stand, and they forget to look at two pictures further down where you've got a noticeable like terrain mesh issue between the tarmac and the rest of the scenery. So that's it. Again, hadn't thought of that. That's an interesting take. And as I said, I wanted to bring this to my fellow Grumpy Servers because I'm conflicted about it myself, and I'm sort of curious to see where we thought it was going and how it affects our community.
Well, fortunately, there are people like us that look at the products the way they need to be looked upon, and we just speak our mind when we review these products, right?
Yep.
It's not like you're going to receive one of these or going to purchase one of these products that it's absolutely awful on the outside, it's brilliant on the inside, and you'll go wild like a lot of content creators out there sometimes go. They go completely wild, talk about Brenda, and you just look at the outside and there's not even a texture on the runway. It's just desert.
It's a pink texture.
See, that's why I love Skyrim VR, Skyrim modding in general, because let's say I'm looking to have the absolute best looking world out there. Then you know what? I can get my parallax texture. It's ironic because I'm actually researching parallax text right now to replace my Whiterun. Whiterun is one of the main cities in Skyrim. But yeah, I can have my Whiterun parallax textures, and I can have mountain textures, 8K textures and background. I can have my trees over here, and they're all different mods. I'm not beholden to that one modder that makes an amazing Whiterun. With all the coffee cups, by the way, in the cavern. And when you walk outside the Whiterun gates, it looks like a freaking nuclear bomb hit. We don't have that problem in Skyrim. There's so many different things. I would love to see that kind of, how would I even put it? I don't want to call it like compartmentalizing, because it's obviously not the right word for that. But I would love to see that whole mix and match type thing. Yeah, where you can overlay stuff. I know you can do that with defaults. By default, whenever you get an add-on scenery, it's going to replace your default scenery. I would love to see if there were, you know, less expensive airport models out there, and maybe somebody's going to specialize in just making the terminals for O'Hare, and maybe another person's going to specialize in making the runways, the taxiways, and everything for O'Hare, and just have all of that work seamlessly and still not break the bank. Is it a pipe dream? Probably. But I'm just trying to think of different ways that we could, you know,
it's
even make all of this work.
It is definitely
for everybody
that would be difficult.
You know, Drew, we're talking about flight simulation, and Drew started mentioning Skyrim mods, and in my head, I started picturing aircraft with big boobies and big butts for some reason.
I've got an airship that kind of matches that description, but it doesn't have a big butt on it. It's just an airship.
You started talking about
Skyrim mods. Do I need to change the rating on this video?
Although, if I remember correctly, Brenda was looking kind of awesome in that Chicago O'Hare there.
So, I think, before this gets too far out of it, now I'm thinking of some of the anime. Anyway, moving on. Before this video gets too far out of the room, that was a really interesting discussion.
Look, a helicopter. It's just...
No, but seriously, developers, if you're going to spend the time to do that stuff, at least stretch out your development cycle a little bit. Don't just half-ass it.
I suppose for my sort of final words on it, my final thoughts on it is that look at where you include those as bonus features. Don't make that your selling point. You know, have that as your point of difference, sure. But remember, just like in aircraft development, where do people spend their most time? People spend the most time in an aircraft in the cockpit. For an airport, people spend their most time on the ramp and on approach. Nail those first, then do your extras to add in to expand it. Don't sacrifice the basics to give yourself the differentiation, because yes, it might work in the short term, but that is a long-term strategy for disaster, in my opinion. So, over to you, Mr. Belgio, for final thoughts.
No, I think you pretty much summed it up. I mean, as wonderful as it is to see everything in VR, one thing that I would remind those developers that are doing that sort of thing, where the interior is great and the exterior is crap, the VR users are your harshest audience, because everything that you can see in those little photographs that you've gotten, little publishing things, we see up close and personal. We see every pixel that's out of place. So keep that in mind. If you're doing something and you're trying to make it as realistic as possible, don't half-ass it, because we will tear it apart.
Either no ass or full ass. I'm almost nervous to now ask the Don for his final thoughts.
if you are a developer and you are thinking about adding these things to add value to your product, don't forget that first of all, you need to offer the value, and then you add to the value. These things cannot and should not be the value, and then everything else being an afterthought. And also, look outside the airport or the airfield or the scenery. Look around, see what else you could bring. Think about those folks that probably would not look at your product twice, but if you add something for them, they will probably consider buying your product, something that they wouldn't before. You know, even, of course, I'm talking about helicopter pilots, but not only. You have GA pilots, for example. Do you have the time to do a very small airfield or a couple of small airfields near the area where the airport you're doing is? Why not giving it a shot? You know, just see how long it would take you to do that, and add those airfields instead of adding the interior of the airport. You probably get more people to buy the airport that way than you would have by just having an interior, which is cool. It's a nice, cool factor, but it's not enough to convince someone to buy your product if they are not interested in the actual airport by itself.
Yep. And I think, Sergio, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, just, yeah, it's like, for example, like Brisbane International Airport in Queensland, Australia, like there's a tiny little sand strip on an island that you can see from the airport. Throw that in there, you know. You're going to expand that then into more people. So that's some great advice from everybody. So Well, after that very grumpy and serpentine discussion, I want to say thank you very, very much once again to my fellow grumpy simmers for chiming in on this one. And we are totally throwing the Don under the bus for taking us off topic to start with. But thank you very much, Sergio from HeliSimmer.com, for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Case. See you, bye-bye.
Don't forget to check out HeliSimmer.com and check out his channel on YouTube for all your latest rotary-winged shenanigans. And thank you very much to you, Belgiode, for joining us once again. His channel is... He's so...
All I'm thinking is, IPAC, why? I thought we loved each other.
I thought we knew you, IPAX. We never knew you at all. But don't forget to head over to Belgio's channel for some various busty adventures along with Rotary Wing adventures as well.
To be fair, though, I haven't really put up a heck of a lot of busty adventures. I think the last time I did something was in November, and that was a state of the channel. And that wasn't even in Skyrim. That was in Black Desert Online.
There needs to be more Black Desert Online.
Okay.
Anyway. So yeah, don't forget to head over to both of their channels, give them a like and a follow as well. And don't forget, if you're seeing that you're here, don't forget to perhaps throw us a like and a subscribe here at this channel as well. Folks, thank you very much for joining us. Whether you joined us on YouTube, or whether you joined us on podcast, or whether you found us on your favorite podcast app, thanks very much for spending your time with us. Take care. Safe skies to all. Don't forget that we are, as a group, going to be at Flight Sim Expo in June in 2024. We would love to see you there. Link is in the description down below. Hope to see you there. Thanks very much for watching, folks. Take care. Safe skies to all.
Ciao.
See you next time. Bye for now.